In the fifth reading, Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Jewish people together and he passes on God's instructions. He speaks to them about the Korban Pesach and the specific things that the Jewish people will have to do in anticipation of the Exodus, of leaving Mitzrayim. And towards the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions, he says this is not only relevant for the here and now, but rather, this is something which will have eternal and continuous importance to you, the Jewish people. In verse 24, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ushmartem es hadavar hazeh." You must keep this thing lachok lacha ulvanecha ad olam, as a statute for you and for your children for posterity. So, what's the emphasis here on you must keep this thing? Nachmanides Ramban says, this refers to the primary thrust of Moshe Rabbeinu's words, namely the notion of bringing a Korban Pesach. But it does not refer, of course, to the painting of doorposts that was unique to the land of Mitzrayim. And the Ibn Ezer puts it a little bit differently. He says, we refer here to Shechitas HaPesach, to the slaughtering of the Paschal Lamb. We do not refer here to the hyssop and its being dipped in the blood, and so on and so forth. So that's the eternal part of these statutes. That's the part that will remain with us. And that's the part which becomes relevant for the future. Now, the Torah now tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, that this business of keeping Pesach or observing the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is connected to the land of Israel. V'hoya ki savoyu el haaretz. It'll come to pass that you enter the land Asher yitin Hashem lachem, which God is going to give you. Ka asher dibe, as he has spoken, ushmartem es ha'avei dehazais. Then you must keep these efforts. This toil, this endeavor has to be kept. Rashi says, v'hoyo ki sovoyu el ha'aretz, it'll come to pass when you enter the land, and then you'll keep this business, you'll make sure to follow through with all of these mitzvahs. Says Rashi, Tolo hakosov aveda zu biviyosam laoretz. The Torah hinges these mitzvahs, the fulfillment of these ideas, to the notion of coming to the land. And that is to say, that as long as the Jewish people don't come to the land of Israel, there will be no obligation of Korban Pesach. Says Rashi, v'le nischayvu b'midbar ela b'pesach echod. During the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, there was only one Korban Pesach that was brought. And that was Sha'asu Bashana Hashenis. This was on the second anniversary. So literally the second year, really the first anniversary of the Exodus of Mitzrayim. And it was Al Pi Adibur. That was something unique. That was not really a continuation of the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Because he said, V'hayu kisavayu al-aretz. This will happen when you come to the land of Israel. So that what's the business of bringing a Korban Pesach in the second year? The first year begins now with the concept of Achedesh Zalochem. So next year we come around, once we get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, now we're in the second year, first anniversary of the Exodus. So that was a special thing. That was Alpi Adibur. That was by virtue of God's specific instructions. That was not the eternal and the lasting Korban Pesach. Not to be confused with the idea of the Korban Pesach that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking about right now. Whereas the Ibn Ezra puts it, he says that Pesach Har Sinai, that's what he calls it. He says the Pesach of Har Sinai, because they were still at Har Sinai. He said that was a mitzvah for that specific time. That was a mitzvah for Har Sinai, it was a temporary mitzvah. And he says, you see, that once they left Har Sinai, which was a little bit after that year's Pesach, there was no Korban Pesach afterwards. A whole 40 years in the desert, there was no Korban Pesach. In fact, in the beginning of Parshas Baaleischa, Rashi talks about the fact that the Korban Pesach is kind of almost tucked into the folds of the verses. It's not like front, right, and center. This is a big deal. First anniversary, all the fireworks. It's a big party. Quietly, there's a business of Korban Pesach and people who couldn't bring a Korban Pesach and the business of Korban Pesach Sheni. It's very quiet. And Rashi says, that's because all 40 years in the desert, the Jewish people only did one Korban Pesach, and the Torah doesn't want to advertise that. But really and truly, that wasn't supposed to happen. That wasn't the plan. The plan was not to remain for 40 years in the desert. The plan was to get to the land of Israel. And so, because this is the case, it says that the temporary Korban Pesach, which only happened once, is not included in the present command. The Gemara in Yevamah says that they did the Korban Pesach only the first year, and that was it. All right, so now we know that the Korban Pesach is uniquely linked and connected to the land of Israel and to the coming into our own as a nation. So the Torah says, now that we got that cleared out of the way, let's talk about what will happen. V'hoya. So it'll happen. You'll be in the land of Israel. You came, you arrived, you make a Korban Pesach, you have a Pesach Seder, you celebrate the Exodus, and then what happens? Ki yemru aleichem b'nechem. Your children will say to you, what are you doing? Moha aveda hazeis lachem. What is this thing that you're doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? The Mechilta, in its commentary, has two very different ways of looking at this verse. On one hand, the Mechilta says, good news. What's the good news? They're going to have children. They're going to have children's children. That's good. What's the bad news? The children will be asking questions. And in the end, many of the children will abandon the Torah, and they will not follow the ways of Hashem. And we see it right here. This, of course, is the Ben Harasha. This is the question of the wicked child. And the wicked child is asking questions, and he says, what are you doing? So let's go quickly to the answer, and then we'll try to understand what the question was. V'amartem, you'll tell him, Zevach Pesach Ula Hashem. This is a Paschal offering to God. Which, what do you mean to God? To the God, Asher Pesach Al Batei Bnei Yisrael, to the God who leaped over or skipped over the houses of the children of Israel, Ben Mitzrayim in Egypt, Ben Nogveyas Mitzrayim when he struck Egypt, V'ez Batenu Hitzel, and our homes were saved, V'yiked Ha'om V'yishtachu. And the nation heard all these words, and they kneeled and they bowed before Hashem. All right. So what was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu predicts is going to happen? This is unbelievable. We didn't even become a nation yet. And Moshe Rabbeinu is already predicting that we're going to have trouble from our children. He's already talking about the fact that there will be future generations who will question. And they will say, what are you doing this for? What's up with that? That's us, the Jewish people. Go figure. Mechilta says, bad news. They'll be forgetting the Torah. So what is the question? Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is predicting that this is going to be the question, and because this is going to be the question, this is what you should answer when the question is posed. What is the question? So, because the answer is, you'll tell him it's a Zevach Pesach LaHashem. So, clearly he must be asking about the Korban Pesach. Because he said, what is this? Mo Aveda Zeis Lachem. And your response is, this is a Korban Pesach LaHashem. Why? Because God leaped over our homes. Alright, so what was the question? So the Chizkuni says, the question is, the child's going to say, I don't get this. All of the other things that we do are specifically connected to an actual event. It's an event. Or it's connected in some way to the agriculture. No problem, he says. I can dig Israel and agriculture. I can dig a land and the importance of keeping its seasons. I get that. But what is this? In other words, the Chizkuni says, you want to tell me that we have to bring a Korban Omer on the 16th day of Nisan? Fine, he says, that's when we start to harvest the barley. I understand that. He says, you want to tell me that we have to bring a special Korban on the 6th of Sivan, which is Shavuot, and that celebrates the cutting of the wheat? I get that. He said, okay, I can understand that. I'm a good Zionist. I get the kibbutz, I get the farm, I get the grain. I understand that. You want to tell me that we have to take four kinds and bring them together, and that this will be done b'chag ha'asif, in the festival that celebrates the ingathering, the harvest festival. I can understand that. I can relate to Israel. I can relate to nationalism. I can relate to prosperity and economy. I can relate to fighting BDS. I relate to all those things. No problem. But what is this, he says? What is this? What happened on the 14th day of Nisan? What exactly are we doing? And the question, what happened on the 14th day of Nisan, is answered, we're remembering Hashem's miracles. That's the answer. V'yamartem zevach Pesach ul Hashem. We are a people who are not primarily agriculturally based or land-based in the typical sense, but rather we're a miraculous people. We're remembering the miracles of our inception. That's the question. That's the answer. The Chizkuni offers another possibility. He says, what's this business of you eating the Korban Pesach roasted? Now the Torah tells me what to do in the kitchen? Who cares how I eat the Korban Pesach? So I like it with mustard. I mean, really? And if it's broiled, who cares? Why does it have to be roasted? What's the answer? The answer is Hashem leaped over our homes and everything happened in great haste. And when you want to eat in haste, what do? Throw it in the barbecue. That's the fastest way to do it. Like the Abarbanel speaks about, and the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, that the reason of the matzah that has to be baked within 18 minutes, and the Korban Pesach that has to be roasted, is to emphasize the concept of great haste. Okay. All right, so that's the question, that's the answer. The Sephorno says, how come all the other festivals have offerings which are brought on the festival? And this is Erev Yom Tov. Furthermore, he says, all the other festivals, one korban is good enough for all the people. And here, everybody's got to bring their own korban. And the truth is, the Gemara tells us that it's a korban yachid and a korban sibur. It has trappings of both. On one hand, it seems like a personal offering. On the other hand, it seems like a communal offering. It's a personal offering because everybody has to be personally involved and you have to eat your piece of korban Pesach. On the other hand, it's communal because it supersedes Shabbat. If Shabbat is Erev Pesach, we still bring the korban Pesach. And that's only done with a communal offering. So the Sephorno says, like, what's going on with this business? And according to the Sephorno, what's the answer? The answer is that Hashem did a specific miracle for each and every individual Jewish family. He leaped over our houses. Okay, so according to the way the Chizkuni and the Sephorno explain the question and the answer, it's all about specifics. And what if children will have different questions? I mean, like, no children today are asking that question. Nobody's asking, so why do we have to roast it? We don't even have a Korban Pesach. Why does it have to be brought, a communal offering versus a personal offering? The people asking questions, they don't even know you're supposed to bring offerings. You're going to tell them that there's a Korban Omer, that's for the barley, a Korban Shtei Lechem, that's for the wheat. He never heard of wheat, he never heard of barley, it's not even the question. These are very intelligent questions. We're dealing with questions that come from a very different place. So the Rebbe has a remarkable way of explaining the question and the answer. In fact, in a manner that is applicable equally in every time, really, in every place. And perhaps in today's day and age, more than ever. Okay, so let's go to page... Let's see. Let us go to the rebel Jew. We deal with him. Page Resh Chav Gimel. Siman Lamed Zayin. So you know this verse is not specific only to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, or the Jewish people at a certain time when they're ready to leave. But this verse actually goes back all the way to the beginning, right? And it continues on straight through the strata of time. And how do we know that? Because this verse is part of our Haggadah. We say this verse every single year at the Pesach Seder. And here the Rebbe quotes the Haggadah. And the Haggadah's quote is like this, Rasha Mahu Eimer. What does the Rasha say? Four children. Right, Arba Banim, and the Rasha says, "Moha Avoda Hazayis Lachem." In the Haggadah, the emphasis is, "What's this Avoda Lachem for you? Lachem for you, v'loy loy, but not for me. What's up with you people? What do you guys do?" V'af ata hakeshin of you blunt his teeth, v'amar loy, and you tell him, "Ba'avurza asa Hashem li betzaisim b'mitzayim," that Hashem did this for me when I left Mitzrayim. Li v'loy loy. For me, not for you. Ilo haya sham. If you would have been there, loy haya nigal, you never would have left Mitzrayim. What a great answer. This is really going to affect the child in such a profound way. He's a wicked child. He goes, up, what's up with you people? And you say to him, you're right, it is us people. You wouldn't even have been part of this. You would have died the Makas Cheshach.
It's inspiring.
It's really inspiring, eh? So listen how the Rebbe explains it. The Rebbe says that we can explain the diuk l'shein she'elasei. We can explain the precise words which Moshe Rabbeinu speaks of here in the Torah, the precise words of what's going to be said. He says, not only moha avayda hazeis lachem, not only what's this to you, which in the Haggadah the emphasis seems on lachem v'leloi, but the Rebbe says the emphasis is, he doesn't say mazeis lachem, what's this to you? He says moha avayda. What's avayda? Avayda comes from the terminology eved. The noun of avayda is a servant. Servant. It represents self-abnegation and obedience. It means asiyas dvarim techtzias v'kabalasel. It means doing what I'm told to do because I'm told to do it. That's what it means. In other words, it means doing something gam mibli lahavenes mashmusan, even if I don't understand what I'm doing. Mibli lehizdayas imtechtim, even if I can't identify with the content of what's being conveyed here. Ke'eved ha'eved esadoinov, like a servant who has to serve his master. So if the servant has to serve his master, the servant doesn't have the right to say, hey master, you know, I don't think you're doing the right thing over here. Like let's reevaluate this. In today's day and age, people have a hard time imagining a servant, though. Imagine in the army. You get a command, and the private says, sir, mistake here. I think you got to revisit this. Or maybe the football player is told by the coach exactly what he should do, and the football player, the long receiver, comes back and he says, coach, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. We need a different strategy. What would the coach say? I'm the coach. You're the long receiver. You go exactly where I tell you to be and stay over there and stay open and wait to see if the football comes to you. That's what the idea of Aveda is. Aveda means I can't identify with this. I can't relate to it. I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. I don't understand it. And nonetheless, I'm an Eved ha'Eved es Adonav. I'm a servant to serving the master. In other words, like this. Harasha, this wicked child, he a name is nagid le'etzem tzion chaga pesach. He doesn't have a problem with national holidays. He's cool with that. Well, national holidays are nice. He believes in Jewish history. He believes in the value of self-determination. He could be right to all this. In fact, the only thing that really bothers him is this obedience business. He loves freedom. He's very into freedom. He lives for democratic values. He says, this is great. This speaks to me. But give me a break. What's up with all these laws? Do this, do that. I'll celebrate Passover the way I want to celebrate Passover. It's about my freedom, right? If I'm free, let me be free. I'll do it as I please, as I can identify. And he says, what's up with you people doing things you don't understand, don't like, don't appreciate, just because he said? Moha avoida hazeis lachem. What's up with the avoida? What's up with the obedience, with the mindless devotion? Chag HaPesach. Pesach, he says, the Rasha. Mitzayinah siyatziyam avdus lachedos. This is the festival in which we celebrate freedom, going out of slavery. So this is about democracy. This is about my opinion. This is about doing things as I please. I have to be happy, he says. This is about doing things with simcha, doing them with joy, with achayas, with vitality. Self-identifying. It's about me. Acheza yesh erech. What value is there? A kiyum mitzvahs Pesach b'derech shel avoda v'kabbalah sel. What kind of freedom is celebrated with servitude? I'm gonna, so to speak, accept the yoke. The whole festival is about freedom. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear about rules and laws I have to follow. There was an article written about 10 years ago by a woman with frustration shopping for Passover and kosher for Passover. And this is like unbelievable. Like the theme of her article is, Passover is freedom. Stop telling me what I could eat and what I can't eat. Leave me alone. I had enough of this oppressive Passover. This year, I'm celebrating Passover for real. Free. I'm going to be a free person. This is the Ben Arash. This is what he's saying. This is what the Ben Arasha Moshe Rabbeinu says. Trust me on this one. This is what's going to happen. They're going to come back and say, freedom, no problem. But freedom. Not you telling me what to do. What value does it have when you celebrate Passover with all of this oppressive rules and laws? If you're just doing it out of obedience, if you're just doing it out of mindless devotion. And what's the answer? Babula, lachem v'leiloi. This is actually our holiday, not yours. You got it all wrong. The way you want to fulfill Pesach, the way you want to celebrate freedom, you want to drop the whole business of listening to Hashem and doing it your way, guess what? Had you been in Mitzrayim, you never would have left. Ilo hayasham lahayin nigol. Ilo hayatzedik b'tainosei. If you were right, if Passover is about freedom, if Passover is about self-expression, if Passover is about my own individualistic appreciation rather than my mindless devotion and commitment to something which is larger than me, something which is beyond what I could appreciate, if that's what Pesach was about. So the truth is, if it was about freedom from Torah mitzvahs, if it was about freedom from the will of Hashem, if it was about doing whatever I want, guess what? There never would have been a Passover. Because you have it all wrong. You're busy repeating Charlton Heston's ideas of the of going out of Egypt, going to freedom. But that was never, ever what Passover was about. There is only one way to free yourself of servitude to the Pharaoh, and that is with Kabbalas El Ha'avdos LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the obedience, the servitude towards God. As the Pasuk says, Avodayhem, they are my servants, says the Torah in Parshas Bahar in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Asher Tzeis Yisam Eretz Mitzrayim, whom I took out of Egypt. So when the child will come along and say, this is Passover, this is freedom, what's our answer? Yeah, this is freedom. This is Passover, exactly. That God sprang over our houses, singled us out, made us special, took us out of Mitzrayim. We are no longer the Pharaoh's servants. Now, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servants. And this really makes sense. This can resonate in any time and in any place, regardless of what knowledge Jewish people do or don't have of Yiddishkeit. This feeling of frustration, self-importance, self-expression, individualized kind of make it up as you go along, that kind of quote-unquote Judaism, that's something that unfortunately lots of people mistakenly identify with. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, when they'll ask that question, make sure you give them the right answer and tell them what Yiddishkeit is, not what it isn't. Anyway, that's the job.